Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. Today, Rene Bernard explores 1 Corinthians 13. And now, here's Rene.
Morning, everyone. Today I'm here to speak to you on 1 Corinthians 13, what's known as the chapter of love in some areas. Start with a prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege of speaking for you. Thank you, Lord, for the many ways you provide. Pray that you'll give me the clarity and the calmness to expound on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll start with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So, in the Corinthian church, it's referred to the gift of speaking in tongues, which was highly valued. But Paul is saying here is that we have to have love as our first motivation. We all have people who get on our nerves, I'm pretty sure. I know I do. People who push our buttons. But some people are hard to love, but we have to love them anyway. In John 13:34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." This commandment emphasizes the importance of mutual love and selfless service among followers of Christ. In Romans 13:8, Jesus says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law." That means that we have to forgive people who hurt us, or people who steal from us, or push our buttons, like I said before. Also, if we see someone in need on the street, there's all kinds of people who have no place to live, people who do drugs, which do sometimes no fault of their own. I would hope to. We would all help in any way possible. The type of love emphasized in 1 Corinthians 13 is agape love, which is self-sacrificing, godly love that seeks the best for others. I'm going to go to Romans 3:9 now. "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. We are previously charged, both Jews and Greeks, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become unprofitable. There is none who do good, no, not one." So what does that say about all of us? None of us do good, except given by the power of God. So for verse 2, "Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I have nothing." So we might receive great revelation from God or understand the great mysteries of God, yet if these gifts are used for our own benefit and not for others, they are of no value to anyone. God honors what we do in love and service to others. In 1 Corinthians 12:8-11, Paul speaks of the spiritual gifts as being for the benefit of all. On to verse 3. "No, I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. No, I give my body to be burned, but have not love. It profits me nothing." Paul is saying that even if we give away all that we have to feed the poor, or even give our bodies as a sacrifice, this might mean going to a foreign land to preach the gospel or many other things. But if love for others is not our principal motivation, it is worthless. If we're looking for our own edification, it means nothing. In Matthew 6, 1 and 2, Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." God rewards good deeds done with the right attitude. Each thing described in verse 1 to 3 is good. Tongues are good. Prophecy and knowledge and faith are good. Sacrifice is good. But love is so valuable, so important, that apart from love, every other good thing is useless. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. So Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Galatians 5:26 says, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." It seems like the Corinthian Christians were impatient, discontented, envious, inflated, selfish, unmindful of the feelings of others, suspicious and resentful. Now Paul contrasts the characteristics of true love. First, love suffers long and is kind. Long-suffering is patience, endurance under provocation. Kindness is active, going forth in the interest of others. Love does not envy. Rather, it is pleased that others should be honored and exalted. Love is not puffed up. It realizes that whatever it has is a gift from God. And there's nothing in us that we should be proud of. Even gifts of the Holy Spirit are bestowed by God. It should not make us proud, no matter how great they might be. There are many references in Romans 12:9 to 21, 13:8 to 14, Ephesians 4:32, and again Ephesians 5 or Galatians 5:26. To sum it up, you shall love one, your neighbor as yourself. In verse 5, love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Philippians 4:8 illustrates this nicely. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And Ephesians 4:2 and 3, "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." And again, Romans 12:9 to 20 reiterates this. Verse 6, "Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth." There's a certain mean streak in human nature. I know I have it. Which takes pleasure in what is unrighteous, especially if it seems to benefit us. This is not the spirit of love. Love rejoices with every triumph of the truth. Romans 3:23, the verse that should be familiar to most of us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I have a description here in my Bible about the many ways we sin by transgression and always stepping in the law. Iniquity, an act inherently wrong, whether forbidden or not. Error. A departure from the right. Missing the mark. A failure to meet the divine standard. Trespass. Self-will instead of God's will. Lawlessness. Defined as spiritual anarchy. In 1 Timothy 1:9-7, unbelief or an insult to the truth of God's word. So God's word is true. Start to finish. Cover to cover. So we should not rejoice when we see wrong, but pray for strength to resist that temptation put before us. Verse 7, I'm going a little faster. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. The expression "bears all things" might mean that love patiently endures all things, or that it hides or conceals the faults of others. Love does not needlessly publicize the failures of others, though we must be firm in giving godly correction when necessary. Love believes all things. That is, it tries to put the best possible spin on actions and events. Love hopes all things in the sense that all things work out for the best. Love endures all things in the way of persecution or ill treatment. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. Leviticus 16:15 speaks of this, how the high priest would enter behind the veil with the blood and sprinkle on the mercy seat. We now have a high priest in Jesus forever, in the order of Melchizedek. So our hope is in Jesus. Verse 8, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So we're only here for a short time. Like the grass, we will fade away. In Ephesians 3:17 and 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being grounded and rooted in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. John 14:23, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. 1 Corinthians 8:2, if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. In this life, our knowledge is limited, and so are our prophecies. There are many things we do not understand in the Bible, and many mysteries in the providence of God. We can only guess at the many ways we're provided for and protected. Yeah, we can only guess at that. How the Lord protects us every day. How He provides for us every day. How He provided Jesus as a sacrifice so that we may not perish but have everlasting life. That's quite special to me. On to verse 10. Boy, I'm really cruising along here. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, we are now children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is, which means we will be perfect as Christ is perfect. We'll have knowledge we cannot possess here on earth. How blessed is that, people? Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. This life may be compared to childhood, when our speech, understanding, and thoughts are limited and immature. The heavenly state is comparable to full adulthood. Then our childish condition will be a thing of the past. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then thou shalt know, just as I also am known. As long as we're here on earth, we see things dimly, as if we were looking in a dirty mirror, full of fingerprints. Heaven, by contrast, would be like seeing things face to face without anything to obscure our vision. Now our knowledge is partial, but then we shall know more fully. We will never have perfect knowledge, even in heaven. Only God is all-knowing. But we will understand much more than we do now. Now abide, verse 13, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love are the main characteristics of Christianity. These graces of the Spirit are greater than the gifts of the Spirit and are more lasting. In short, the fruit of the Spirit is more important than the gifts of the Spirit, and love is the grace of the graces, because it is most useful to others. It is not self-centered, but other-centered. Jesus said in Mark 12:30 and 31, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. So how are we to love all those around us? We're to love them with the love of God. That's pretty well it, guys. I have to work on getting longer. But if we get the music team to come up, and also, Brother Bruce, would you close for us in prayer?
Thank you for those thoughts of love. You know, love is a supernatural thing. Oh, yeah. I forget this thing all the time. Love is supernatural. It's like God gave us a capacity to love. When we don't understand it, it's something innate within us that we have to express to other people. It's something that has to come out because it's human, but it's indwelt by God. And the reason I say that is because there's this verse in 3, verse 16. You go to a football game. You go to a sporting event. You go to anything. And there'll be somebody in the crowd that's holding up a sign, John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life." And it's really a summation of this. It's a summation of what Rennie was talking about this morning, the fact that without God's perfect love, our life is hollow. It doesn't mean anything. But you inject the love that God gave to us, and it provides meaning. Because God put something in our heart, the capacity to love. And the capacity to love is to love God. And that's something that we don't do naturally. He puts that in us. As Randy mentioned, we're all sinners, but in spite of that, God so loved the world. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That he loved us. Look at us. Are we lovable? Is it because of our incredible good looks? Or our track record is immaculate? Or everybody thinks we're awesome? No. In fact, some of us are not that awesome at all, as you mentioned. And that we all have these little holes and these things that make us human. But also make us lovable. And so, God so loves us. Thank you, Ernie, for that message today. Thank you for what it means to be loved by God. And may we, in turn, express love to the capacity of what we're able as he grows in us. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the message. We thank you, Lord, for what you're saying to us and how you're reminding us that love, simple, expressed love to others in spite of who they are and in spite of anything that within our mind that would suggest that they're not worthy, Lord, reflect back on us of your love to us in our unworthiness, and you did not hold back. You gave your total love to us, and that we were sinners and you died for us in that position of being sinful, redeemed us, brought us into a relationship of forgiveness, and totally brought us to a place where we're accepted by God. Thank you, Lord. May you reflect your love upon us as we go through this day. May we think about this as we reflect over the course of the day. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your love. In your precious and holy name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you are in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.